Mike, when he goes through cold metal, the metal expands and creaks.
It's still creepy.
I didn't say it isn't. It's creepy and creaky. We are WGEEK, the Geek. Is that a real curse?
There's this awesome sound. So I work at this place in a little really small town called Newark, New York. Not to be confused with Newark, New Jersey.
But which is worse?
Remotely. Oh, that's debatable. It's like two different, completely different kinds of bad.
Suck.
Yeah, hub suck. But anyway, it's an old building, a series of old buildings on an old campus.
Okay.
And one of them used to be a hospital.
Ooh.
Yeah, that one is like seriously creepy. But they've renovated a few of them, and they have offices. So I'll go walk around the buildings every once in a while when it's nice out.
Sure.
Which is, you know, I'm running out of time to do that this year.
Yeah.
But it's been really windy lately, as you probably have noticed.
I've been running.
Or maybe not. Because okay, you do get out. You do get out.
Only to run.
Only to run.
Otherwise, I'm a recluse.
So I've been walking around, and these are older buildings. They have a little bit of new stuff on them, but one of the things that they have is like one of those really old metal. I don't even know what you call it. It's like a fan, like a self rotating vent fan thing.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It was like kind of a ball shape.
Oh yeah. Yep.
There's probably a name for it that
I'm
just not thinking of.
I don't know what they are, but yeah,
you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
And the wind was blowing when I was walking last, and that thing was spinning, and it was making the most god-awful, creepy, creaking, metal, rusty sound you could imagine. I mean, it was like straight out of Silent Hill.
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble imagining. Can you recreate it? Maybe.
That's not even doing it justice.
It was a seal doing the psycho mic?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what it sounded like to me. But I wish I could have, you know, had like a boom mic and just recorded that sound to use it in some future creepy film.
Right. Or just when you want to do something creepy right at the moment.
Yes.
So I wanted to have the dramatic chipmunk on standby at all times. So I could be like, oh, that's what she said. That's cool. I wonder if the people in the building have to hear that all day, because that would suck.
I hope not. I do. I walk around in the building a little bit, so I didn't notice it.
Oh, okay. So it's.
I think they've added some insulation since it was originally built.
Insulation. It'll never catch on. Hi, we are Buddies in Space. You are
S. Michael Smith, and you are
M. Michael Carassi.
And we're drinking the drink of Toronto.
The drink of Old Man Toronto. Not only are we drinking Toronto, we're drinking Old Man Toronto.
Yes, and it's delicious.
And
quite tasty.
Thought I didn't like these.
I couldn't remember from our. Our excursion. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Mind
meld.
Once upon a time, somebody thought it would be a good idea while they were drinking, I assume, tomato juice.
Or Bloody Mary.
Well, I'm going back to the, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I just blew up your shit.
Okay, yeah. You got your tomato juice.
Right.
You're drinking it.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking this needs a little something.
Not enough.
It's not enough.
It needs more.
You know what it needs?
What?
Clam.
Oh, I didn't think I was going to say vodka. Okay, sure, clam. Let's put clam in this.
So that's what happened.
And we'll call it?
Once upon a time.
Chlamydia.
No.
Clambake.
No. Keep trying.
Keith Richards.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's how Keith Richards was born. Clamato, or clamato, I guess.
Well, you say clamato, I say
yeah.
Okay.
I honestly don't know though. I can go either way on this one.
I think anyone could.
I think I would typically say clamato, but I might think again and say clamato instead.
I like clamato.
Yeah.
It sounds more like an STD.
Yeah.
Which is really all that I find amusing about it.
So you might be walking to your grocery store and see the actual bottles of clamato or clamato and think, why in God's name does this exist?
Let's see. And what did my wife tell me to get? What? Ew. Why does such a thing exist? Sorry, go on.
Why, God, why did somebody put these two things together? Well, I'm not really sure, but I'm glad they did because it makes a delicious alcoholic beverage called the Bloody Caesar Or just Caesar.
Yeah, that was just Caesar.
Yeah. It is technically Bloody Caesar.
Is there a non-Bloody Caesar?
You can drink it. No, I don't know.
Is it just clam juice and
I
vodka?
Guess. Oh, I don't know. But it's called a Bloody Caesar, like a Bloody Mary, but with the Clamato instead of, or in lieu of, just tomato juice.
And every once in a while, the drink will look at you and say, "Et tu, Brute?" And you say, "Yes, Bloody Caesar," because that's a dumb joke, and now you're dead. You know when you trim your beard, when your Clamato-based drink is getting stuck in your mustache, and you're, like, eating it out of the hairs afterwards.
Yeah, but you can't get these. If you go to a bar anywhere in the U.S. that I've been, maybe there are some bars that will have this, but yeah, most
hipster
bars
in like Brooklyn and Austin and Portland.
Okay.
But anyway, go on.
You cannot order this. You will order a Caesar or a Bloody Caesar, and most of the time you'll be met with a vacant stare.
And even if they know what it is, they're going to be like, "We don't have Clamato."
Yes, and why would we, you freak?
Jackass.
But you can walk into literally any bar in, certainly Toronto, probably...
Canada.
The better part of Canada. And order a Caesar, or Bloody Caesar, if you want to be formal about it. And they will know exactly what to do, and they will have the exact correct ingredients. And you'll be pleasantly delighted at the result.
I was never a Bloody Mary drinker.
Mm-hmm.
So I traditionally, if I brunched in New York, which you do when you're young, it's a terrible idea to drink and eat massive amounts of food like early in the morning or late in the morning, let's be honest. But I could never wrap my head around a Bloody Mary. It's like, why would I want my alcohol to burn slightly and taste like something that isn't alcohol?
I would think it's more of a drink you have after you've had a night of drinking.
I could see the hair of the dog thing.
Yeah.
But I just
because you get the salt and the some sort of...
Well, the spice is good for you, I think that helps.
Yeah, the spice and maybe, I don't know, electrolytes, but I'm just kind of reaching here.
Sure. Well, I discovered Bellinis, which are supposed to be champagne and peach nectar.
Yeah.
But having worked in restaurants, so we would pour in Blue Water Grill, which was number like 7 or 8 in the city. It was high up there. It was in Union Square. It is in Union Square. We would use $2 bottles of sparkling wine. And the cheapest, like, not even Goya. Like fucking
not even Goya?
Generic peach nectar.
I mean, Goya's not, like, expensive. It's
No, it's actually not bad, but no. We're not talking Goya level. We're talking, we are promising everyone here one
like
free
Sam's
alcoholic
Club?
Drink. It was like, you went down to C-Town, which if you're from New York, you know what I'm talking about. And you bought the cheapest imported, probably not, you know, FDA approved peach nectar, which I'm sure there are many types of. But yeah, so I would always think it's funny when people come in and they'd be pissed because we wouldn't give them drinks until noon. So people would camp. And I'm like, I'm thinking, I'm pouring you a 25-cent value headache because this is sugar and shit. And that's what you've just waited 2 hours for in your table for. And you've cost me money.
Aw.
But then the Caesar happened in Toronto, mm-hmm. And that was the first time you had had it too, right?
Not on that trip, but I hadn't. I mean, obviously, why would I have a Caesar? How could I have had a Caesar except in a trip to Toronto?
So you had had one on a previous trip? Or...
Yes, I had one on a previous trip.
Okay.
I think I was actually in a bar. This was during their Fringe Festival, so I was we were at a bar / I don't know, book club place, and they have lots of little tiny trendy hipstery places like that.
It's a bar / pub / lion taming school.
Yeah, / I guess theater, because we were waiting to go to where the show was.
That's right. I remember you telling me this now.
And I wasn't sure what to order. I was just kind of still getting... I was still a little new to the whole mixed drink thing because I didn't drink for a long time. So the mixed drink, it's like... maybe for the past 10 years, I've been exploring mixed drinks.
That's a good amount of time to explore mixed drinks.
It's been a good time.
Yeah.
And I think I just asked the bartender for something. I don't know. I don't think I knew. I think it was probably that. It was probably, can I get something maybe Canadian?
And he handed you a shot of Labatt's and a fucking hockey puck. They said, you bite the hockey puck and you shoot the Labatt's. I don't know why you'd shoot Labatt.
Obviously, you know why you'd bite the hockey puck. Jeez.
Yeah, to show
tradition,
your manly tradition.
And I was provided with a Caesar, and I drank it, and I thought it was delicious. And then they told me what was in it.
And you thought it was less delicious.
And I was like, yeah, okay. Okay. I can still drink this.
I have to not think about that when I'm drinking it, because then I start to taste it more. But if I don't think about it, it's really just an enjoyable drink.
It's not a bad taste. It really just adds texture, I think.
I think it adds salt.
It adds some salt.
You know?
But it definitely changes the texture of the tomato juice to me.
Yeah, I could see that. It's a little more viscous. But it's good. And so you introduced me to it, and I said, oh, okay, I could be an old man and drink these.
Yeah.
That's not something I would be opposed to.
So you think it, compared to a Bloody Mary, you would prefer this?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Bloody Marys, I guess I've never had a good one or something, or it's lacking something. Because this, I think I understand what you mean about texture. It rounds out the drink somehow. Mm-hmm. And it really does make it feel more like a meal. It's like I'm getting multiple food groups worth of liquids here. I got my tomatoes, I have my seafood, and I have my vodka.
There you go. That's potato.
You got the starch. That's the starch. It's, yeah. Psst. Eat that, science. So we need to discuss
what?
The only partially aborted, you show us yours, we show you ours.
What? Night. What are you talking about?
Remember when you and Mel came over and we watched?
Oh, stuff? Okay.
But before we get into that.
Yeah.
I do have to tell you that I did watch Avengers 2.
Uh-huh.
So.
You're not saying that with a happy face.
I'm not happy. That hence the lack of a happy face.
So is it, I haven't been paying attention. Is it out on Blu-ray already?
Yeah. Got it from Netflix.
So did you got it, did it have like special features of Netflix deleted scenes really or anything like that?
Netflix doesn't really do special features anymore. They get a special like rental copy of it.
Oh, okay.
Most of them. That might have had them. I didn't even look, but I know that there's no.
You didn't even care enough to check.
Apparently. Honestly, no, we didn't. Like Eric and I had to talk it through afterwards. Why was that not a good movie? And we're like, let us count the ways. But yeah, I couldn't accept James Spader's voice as Ultron. And even she couldn't. And she loves James. I mean, she saw it for James Spader's voice, if that makes any sense.
No, it does. It does. And I agree. I don't think it was a good match.
I think he did a great job.
Yeah.
But not as a fucking robot.
Yeah. And they made him, I think, too, the robot. I think they made him too James Spader-y.
He was very James Spader.
Yeah. Which just kind of is jarring when you see this hulking metal monstrosity kind of slouching.
You know what he was? He was douchebag Shakespeare. That's, I think, the best way. Because he had that brooding, posing a lot, but kind of like, I'm James Spader. And I'm going to be snarky.
Yeah.
We didn't, this is her hang up, but I'm with her on this one. Like, a robot is a bad guy. Like, is the main villain. It just didn't fly. And there was so much CG in the movie. And it just... I know there's a lot in the first one, but they did it better somehow. I can't explain it. They weren't as reliant on it. There was just not practically no practical effects. And you really could see, knowing Joss Whedon's work well, you really could see that they like just crushed him. Marvel just totally... And that's what I kept hearing. But like the scene where they're sitting around all drinking and trying to lift the hammer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a genuinely funny scene. It's a great. It's got a great callback later.
I guess, but it just kind of it seemed kind of lifeless to me.
But that was the best. Like Jay, that was like Joss Whedon sticking his head up, and being like, "Hey, I'm here. I'm gonna write some good dialogue," and then I'm gone again. And then I don't know. And what did you think of the romance? Because we liked it, and everyone else seems to hate it.
I don't know. It was there. I didn't really care about it. Mm-hmm. It was. It didn't affect you. I think I knew it was there before I watched it. So
a lot of people were talking about it.
Yeah. Eh. I can see it. I didn't have a problem with it. I didn't really care.
You're indifferent to it. That's fine.
Yeah.
We liked it.
I wanted to see more Hawkeye.
He...
I thought that was going to... I think Whedon was really setting him up to be more of a presence in the movie. And
he got just, a lot of characterization. And then
he
it just,
did.
Just got dropped. Yeah. It was weird.
The whole thing about with him and his farm.
Yeah.
That looked like it was really going to go somewhere, and then it didn't.
No, it like played out how you would not think it would play out. Yeah. And nothing happened.
And that was, of course, the part where Marvel stepped in and said, you have to have this scene where Thor has this vision. you have to do this. And Whedon was like, what? And they're like, no, you have to do it. Thor goes away and he does this and he has this weird vision because we have to have this because it's going to set up the other movies. And Whedon was like, well, fuck you then, I guess, whatever. There it is. Fuck you.
But I'm going to do it.
Yeah, he didn't have a choice. He had to put that in.
Well, I mean, they all had a vision. You mean when Scarlet Witch had them all blah, blah, blah?
No. There's a scene where Thor says, I have to go do something now.
Right.
And he goes and he like sits in a hot tub and has this.
Oh, yeah, the sauna. The ancient springs.
Yeah.
Dude, I already forgot part of that movie. It was really not great. Okay. I mean, I liked Vision, and it's, you know, it's fun to see Paul Bettany as,
yeah,
as Vision.
Yeah, good for him, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, he never watched any of the Iron Man
movies. I know.
I think that's awesome. But yeah, like, I really didn't like Quicksilver. And I love that actor. That was kick-ass. I love that actor.
Yeah, but then you saw the good Quicksilver.
They did him so much better in the X-Men movies. And I also love that actor, who's also a great actor. So, yeah, it was...
Because I'm going to get really nerdy here for a second. Because the speedster ability is, like, incredibly overpowered compared to pretty much everyone else.
Right. Except in Avengers 2.
Yeah. So, in the X-Men prequel.
Hilarious.
They really showed just how powerful that mutant ability is.
And
he's just like really at his leisure, just doing whatever he wants to anyone, no matter how like crazy powerful they might be.
Yeah, like, there's no one's a match for him.
Yeah.
And he's just like a punk kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was really good. I like Scarlett. So it's funny. So that's the younger Olsen sister, not Mary-Kate Ashley.
Oh, all right.
And I saw her in Godzilla, also with Quicksilver. So that's weird that they were in that movie together. I just realized that. But I hadn't really seen her before. I'm like, oh, she's popping up all over the place. She's not a bad actress. But I do like Scarlet Witch. And then, okay, so, yeah, Ultron didn't fly. The mid-credits stinger, it's like, all right, well, we know where this is going. So, yeah, just get Thanos to get the gauntlet. Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ruining anything because it's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
But the thing that annoyed me the most was... the stupid thing in the end where they're setting up the new Avengers team.
yeah, I didn't really care much about that.
It's just the way they shot it, like, annoyed the hell out of me. So I couldn't...
You're like, kind of, who is that? Is that...
No, it's like they're all... So they walk in, so it's Captain America and you know, and Black Widow, right? And they're like, okay, let's go check out the team. They're not a team yet, blah, 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 blah.
Because, yeah.
Spoiler alert, shit happens in the movie, and the team's different by the end. I don't care.
Everybody dies except for Captain America and Scarlet Witch.
Right. And then the farm scene was the most heartbreaking. I mean, all the children being broken to little bits like that. Jesus Christ. So they walk into the room, right? And it's this big room. And then for some reason, everyone is doing something and has to turn at the exact moment. It's like Scarlet Witch is like doing her magic and then she like turns all dramatically. And then Falcon is apparently just swooping over and over again and then has to land at that moment. And it's just really fucking stupid. Like, what were they doing that they all had to stop at that moment? It didn't make any sense. I sat there afterwards, like, just trying to imagine the tableau that directly preceded that scene. And I was like, no, there's nothing that makes sense. Were they all not talking to each other?
Maybe.
It's so weird.
They're doing their own thing.
It was dumb.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, yeah, I was really disappointed, and I had low expectations.
Yeah. Too. Anyway, we saw a couple nights ago. We saw Crimson Peak, and it's freaking awesome. I think everybody should go see it.
Just visually?
Yes.
Okay.
Visually,
I've heard that's where it's shining.
It's stunning. It is a beautiful movie. The plot is kind of incidental to the movie. You can totally see what's going to happen and where everything's going, but it's cool because you think. Just you know, forget about it. It's all about the characters, and everything in the movie is a fucking metaphor for something.
Okay.
And if you go in with that expectation, like, yeah, there's going to be some ghosts, there's going to be scary stuff. It's not going to be that scary, though. Just, you know, just kind of bask in the luxurious storytelling. Not storytelling, but...
Scene setting?
Yeah, the scenery.
Mise-en-scene?
Yeah, and the characters.
And like... The acting? I don't understand what you mean.
Yes, the acting, the characters, top notch.
It's
more of a character piece than anything.
It's very Baroque or very Victorian from what I read.
Yeah, turn of the century. I don't know what that
would be. No, I mean the experience of it. It's very
There's a lot of draped finery
in the scenes, and like it's just that kind of weird. There's a lot of lush reds.
It's beautiful, and people don't make movies like this anymore.
Well, that's cool.
The CGI kind of takes away from it.
That's what turned us off to, I think both Eric and I saw the amount of CGI in the trailer, and we're like, I'm over CGI.
Yeah, I know. The CGI is a metaphor, Mike.
Okay. Wow.
Just go into it with that mentality. You'll be fine.
Everything's a metaphor.
Yes, everything's a metaphor.
All right.
Beautiful movie, though.
So,
we
presented to you this, show you ours and we'll show you yours. No, I said that wrong. So we presented this, we'll show you ours and you show us yours thing, which I just love saying because it sounds dirty. So you and your wife were tasked to find two things to show us, and then we had two things we wanted to show you, and I didn't get to show you mine yet.
Yeah.
It's disappointing. We watched... Two weekends ago? It was 2 weekends ago.
I think so. Yes, it was.
We watched Rick and Morty, an episode of Rick and Morty.
One episode. One episode of Rick and Morty. 15 minutes.
I know. And then your wife got to show us Hellraiser.
But at least you got through the Gazorp episode because things tie back to that one, even though you wouldn't think so.
I thought it was funny.
It was pretty good. Yeah. It was pretty good. And the whole
Zardoz
reference.
You were like, Erica, you're about to miss a really great reference. And Hellraiser, and then so we can go in order. So the first thing was the podcast, right?
Yes.
So, what were your thoughts on the podcast? The podcast is Welcome to Night Vale, one of the most very popular podcasts.
Okay. Oh my gosh, I'm being put on the spot here, and I don't want to piss off Eric.
She knows.
But I don't know. I didn't. Maybe it wasn't the best episode for us to step in on. Because it seemed very disjointed and just like, these are randomly creepy things that I'm going to talk about.
But you can do the guys... I see what Eric is talking about. So Eric's whole thing is that the main character, there's only one character in it, the news announcer, sounds and does a lot of your affectations. So she was like, I feel like Spike needs to listen to this, but...
I think he goes farther than I do. Really sound like that all the time?
Not all the time, no.
Okay, good.
He doesn't sound like that all the time.
He sounded like that for most of that episode.
No, I mean in real life.
Oh, okay. I'm just talking about the podcast.
Well, you're comparing this podcast to that? He's doing a very specific affect.
I know. He's doing that. He's doing that whole affect. And it put me off a bit. Maybe mm-hmm. I need to get on an earlier one and warm up to things. I don't know.
I don't think you're a podcast person.
Maybe not.
Because you don't listen to ours. You don't listen to any.
I could try.
That's not a podcast.
I have like a 30-minute drive to work back and forth. So
my God, maybe... you have the perfect podcast commute. Jesus.
Maybe I should start doing that.
Yeah, I should start with Buddies in Space. I hear it's pretty fucking rad. Except when the one guy gets drunk.
Then it's awesome. Those are the best episodes.
Then it goes hyper rad.
All right, so yeah, it was creepy. But again, it seemed kind of disjointed. They kept referencing things, and it didn't go anywhere, but I understand that it's, it's like a serial thing, so mm-hmm. maybe things come from somewhere that I didn't know about and lead to somewhere that I didn't.
I asked Erica, the tapes, they haven't come called back yet.
Okay.
But the covering the mirrors thing came up, like, very early on.
Okay.
So there's a lot of... Yeah, so she tried to pick one that stood alone pretty well, but I think it might have backfired.
Yeah, maybe.
But the ones that I've heard are more, there's just a shit ton of stuff. Like, the first episode's really funny. Because that's the other thing, is that wasn't a very funny episode. But there's a lot of weird...
Yeah, no, I didn't...
So in the first episode, I think it's the first episode, there's like this weird multicolored glowing cloud that just shows up in town. And it just drops dogs and cats on people. And then it starts making demands, and it basically they just decide it's an asshole. And that's like just the whole thing, is it's just this really dick cloud.
See, now that sounds like a Rick and Morty episode.
It has a more of an absurdist bent. I don't know. I think maybe we should have started from the beginning. But I know why she picked that episode. But okay. Well, so there you go. But it forced you to experience something you had never experienced before.
That's true. That's true.
Podcast disappointment. And then next was Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
Which we're already big fans of.
Yeah. That was a short episode. It was the Gazorp episode. I don't even know if we need to address it. It's
it's funny. It's about parenting, kind of. And again, there's a Zardoz reference. And if you haven't seen Zardoz, go out and get whatever the strongest legal thing in your state is and watch it. Because, wow, they were doing a lot of acid in the 70s. And it's basically here. You know what? Let me paint a picture. Sean Connery in Bikini Bottom and bright orange bandoleros.
And, wait, yeah, leather, right?
Did he have leather? I don't remember leather.
I thought they were leather.
They were like straps, bright orange maybe. Leather bandoleros.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two of them.
Looking like he's not real happy to be in doing this, right?
I don't think he knew what the fuck he was doing in that movie. He's like, I could be home beating my wife right now. Why am I here? Yeah, that was, yeah. But, yeah, funny episode. Funny show.
So, after that...
We got Hellraiser'd.
Yeah. We were going to watch Hackers, right? Not Hackers. No, what not is it? Hackers. Oh, my God. What's the name of it? I know it's Hacker. It's the Hacker guy.
I want to hear you keep trying to figure out what it's called.
Guy Who Hacks. The Hackmeister.
There's no hack in
Hacky.
The title.
Hacky.
Hacky Sack.
Hacky Sack. Mr. Hacker. Mr. Robot.
Yeah. There
yes. Yes, which is something I do want to see, and I know I will see eventually.
I want you and Mel both to see it because, A, it's fucking brilliant, and I have my hats off to Ben because Ben would not stop texting me and telling me to watch it or telling us to watch it. And I was like, shut up, dude. But we finally gave it, and it was amazing. But also because, unlike Hackers, which they actually watch in the show and make fun of, it is the most realistic hacking I've ever seen. And they somehow take consoling into a server and make it really exciting. But do it completely realistically. So it's an amazing story. It's phenomenal. Just a great story. So anyway, yeah. So we did do Mr. Robot. So it's still on the hook.
I'm curious as to whether or not it would be really exciting to somebody who doesn't know anything about connecting to a server.
I think they do enough production around it.
Okay.
To make it. Like, they know how to put the stakes just right.
All right.
But then make it really realistic. Like, there's no GUI, floating GUI, where they're, like, typing like in Hackers. And a lot of movies are guilty of this. They're like typing and just like nothing they're doing has anything to do with what's on screen.
My favorite one was, what was that awful movie where the guy like gets raped by his female boss? Oh my gosh. Why can't I think of it? It was Michael Douglas and...
Basic Instinct?
No. It was Michael Douglas and somebody and...
Glenn Close?
Maybe. I don't know. Mm. But he gets like... raped by her because she's his old girlfriend and now she's his boss. But anyway, that was the big deal. It was like, ooh, can a guy really get raped? Ooh, let's find out in this movie. He did.
Where is this going?
There was like this out of nowhere. There's a scene where he hacks into his company's records to do something. I don't even remember why.
Just for the sake of hacking because it was hot back then.
Yeah, exactly. This must have been like maybe late 90s or something.
Oh, yeah. No one understood shit about that.
No.
No one had a... That's why Hackers... I mean, Hackers like that, too. Like, we're going to just exploit the fact that no one fucking understands.
But they... This movie had a decent-sized CGI budget, and they, like, blew it... This is the only... You know, there's no other CGI in this movie.
Oh, my God.
And they made it, like, this whole virtual reality thing, where they, like, had to put on a virtual reality headset, and he was, like, walking through a virtual library... You know, dodging virtual guards and whatever.
Oh, my God.
Because this is what people, I guess, thought would be exciting to see as hacking.
Because mm-hmm. you could see it.
Because you could see it. It's like sneaking around, but virtually.
Community did a whole episode about virtual reality in their last season. And the joke is that it's a complete waste of time because a mouse and keyboard is infinitely more efficient. So the principal, the dean invests in this like defunct virtual reality setup and he just keeps yelling, Jesus wept, because he's like doing all these things in the virtual reality thing that like filing, putting a file in a folder. But he literally has to climb like a 3-story tall ladder in the game. So like it takes him an hour to do anything that a simple double click would do. And at the end of the episode, it's like the guy who creates it, who ends up being, oh my God, the black guy who does all the voices.
Yeah.
What the fuck is his name?
The guy from Mad TV?
No.
Because he does lots of voices.
No, this is the guy who does all the... He did Goliath and Gargoyles and... Keith something? I think his name is Keith something.
I don't know.
You'd know him if you saw him.
Okay.
I'll put it in the, you know, the description of the podcast where I put all this shit.
Sure it's not the guy from Mad TV?
He was not on Mad TV.
Okay.
No. Anyway,
Lamar. I'm thinking of
no,
Lamar. Whatever his name is.
Burton.
No.
Owens.
No. We'll put that in the whatever too. But he does tons of voices.
I know who you're talking about. Okay. But no, not him. But anyway,
speaking of Jesus Wept, we watched Hellraiser. That was the last part.
Oh, right. Yeah. After the weird licking of the lips thing.
Yes.
So yeah, Hellraiser.
Scary movie from the 80s, I believe.
Movie from the 80s, yes.
Yes.
I would not say scary.
Clive Barker. At the time, it was about as scary as you could get.
Okay.
All right, it was pretty scary for this time. I don't know. You were unimpressed.
I enjoyed it. I don't know why it would ever have been scary. I don't know what would have changed to make it more or less scary. I mean, a scary movie is scary regardless. I mean, if I sat down 20 years from now and watched, you know, Ju-on, I'd probably still be creeped out as fuck by it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I
don't know.
I thought it was interesting. I think Stu, you know, made a good point where it was like, it's the different kind of approach to horror where it's, you seek it out rather than it finding you kind of thing, you know? So from a thought standpoint, I thought it was very good, but I never found it scary.
Looking back at it though, I think there were maybe a couple of missteps in it.
Clive Barker does not translate well to film, I've decided.
No. Oh, that's right, because you guys saw that other thing.
We saw Nightbreed.
Nightbreed, yeah. Nightbreed, man. We're that is a movie that...
Nightbreed. I just want to get stuck in everyone's head.
Yeah, that is not... Man, that is a good argument for watching movies while somewhat impaired.
I don't even think it would help then.
No?
It was, yeah. I mean, we were stone sober when we saw it, but wow. That was... Luckily, the three of us, we were making fun of it, but...
Yeah, I watched it when I was a lot younger, like back as like a VCR rental back
but
in the day.
But was that like the age where everything was good?
No, it wasn't even, I didn't even remember that being good. It wasn't. And I remember some movies that were, I thought were good, but that are not. I remember House being good.
Wow, that was so sad though.
I remember loving House.
Because you talked about that and William Catt, and you were just going on, and we were all the rocks in there like, should we tell him the movies are good?
It had some good moments. Okay, no.
That is
no,
not a movie not, that aged
not
well.
Good, no.
But as you pointed out, Nightbreed's whole thing is that it's got What's-His-Face as a serial killer.
Yes. Cronenberg.
Cronenberg in it, playing a... Actually, fairly... That was the creepiest thing.
Yeah.
Of the two movies, Cronenberg and his mask is far creepier than anything else. No, Hellraiser was interesting. It was an interesting premise. I don't understand for the life of me why anyone was attracted to that woman.
Who, Julia?
Is that her name?
The wife?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The least attractive woman I've ever seen.
She had a lot of makeup and hairspray. It was an 80s movie.
It was an 80s movie. But so, really, I think the most fascinating thing for us was when your wife started getting really confused about where we're supposed to take place. And she was absolutely right.
Yes.
And then we were like kind of going back and forth about it because I was also right. We were also right about argument.
Right. And we looked it up.
And it was like a legitimate thing that happened. So they filmed it in England because Clive Barker is British.
Yeah.
And then the distribution company said, no, we want this to sell well in America. So they redubbed, like, at least one of the main characters.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
They made it geographically ambiguous.
Very ambiguous. Everything is British, but they keep saying...
Confusingly ambiguous, yes.
It sure beats Brooklyn. And I'm like, why would they say that if they're in another country? That doesn't make sense. Because then they just move into the house, and you don't just move in from Brooklyn to England. But it was really funny that Mel was like, why are there two faucets? Is this supposed to be in England? And I'm like, what are you talking about? No way. But yeah, it was filmed in England.
Yeah, the two faucets, I would not have thought that would be the tell for an English setting.
Yeah, there was other stuff, interesting, but not that. The fence, actually, the fences really weirded me out.
The fences?
Yeah, there's a scene where the I don't even know if you call her the main character, but the girl.
Yeah.
I guess she's the main character.
The main character.
She's the
protagonist.
Protagonist. She's like running down the street. And then she collapses, and the three people are looking over, like, are you okay? Remember that scene?
Mm-hmm.
She's running along a fence, and I've never seen a fence. It's a chain link fence, but it's square. It's these little, like, rectangles.
Oh.
And I'd never seen a fence like that. And I'm staring at it, like, what is this fucking fence? What?
Of all the things to fixate on, that seems
right? odd. I know. Okay. Well, but Mel fixated on the faucets, but yeah, she'd actually been in England, so she recognized that was odd. So, yeah, that did explain the kitchen.
the tiny kitchen.
But, so I've heard Hellraiser 2 is maybe a better movie overall, but the Cenobites were really fascinating, and they barely got any
yes,
explanation.
And the main Cenobite is... I'm going to spoil a, 30-year-old movie, but...
There's nothing being spoiled, because if you don't fucking know what you're about to say, at this point, you deserve to have it ruined.
So, yeah, when she finally figures out how to get rid of them using the magic box, the main Cenobite, the main antagonist... Well, okay, the main demon antagonist...
There's a lot of antagonists. Yeah, okay. It's almost entirely populated with antagonists.
Yes.
two other characters who really have any screen time who aren't antagonists.
The main humanoid demon unrelated to her antagonist.
Wait, but what about...
is the most interesting antagonist, certainly.
And which is what everyone... He's the one everyone associates with. Hellraiser.
Yeah. Yes.
Of course.
Pinhead.
Yeah.
Even though he doesn't have pins or nails. But whatever. He's referred to as Pinhead.
Pinhead, yeah.
He's the first one that she gets rid of.
Yeah, I know. God. No! I didn't understand why he wasn't just there was easily 30 seconds where he's just kind of standing there and he's like, no, don't close the box. And then he just kind of waits for it to close the box. It's like, you're an S&M demon. You can't stop her from pushing down on a box that she was having a weird amount of trouble
doing.
Can't
sling out one of your...
Yeah, you have these fucking
hooks on
crazy chain hooks with a,
just get hook one of those hands. There,
it's like, no, if Spider-Man was on the other end, like they have Spider-Man in their little hell dimension because they're like shooting these hooks out like it's fucking webbing.
Yeah,
like with incredible accuracy too.
So anyway, yeah, he's the first one to go,
mm-hmm.
And there's at least 20 minutes of movie left, and you're like, what? Well, okay. That was unexpected. I guess this is easier than we thought for her to get rid of them.
Close again. Close another part. Okay. I really liked, after you pointed out, the more I thought about it, the more I enjoyed it, that they made her a more competent, heroine to the point where her boyfriend.
Yes, that is my favorite part of the movie.
That actually might be the shining moment of the whole movie.
So there's this scene towards the end.
It's
where
right near the end.
The last demon, which is the stupidest demon in the movie, honestly.
That's where practical effects in that movie really were aging not well.
Yeah, it kind of let us down. It was the stupid thing that crawled through a hallway and had a head
on
its
ceiling.
Stomach.
Mm-hmm.
It looked dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes out of a door and she drops the box. And the demon's there, and they're playing, two nerdy 5-year-olds having a slap fight with each other. This is.
It sounds like this.
Yeah, it sounds like this. And this goes on way longer than it should.
It's a 3-minute long scene where this thing has a giant human-sized stinger. It never uses.
Yeah. It's not trying to claw her.
No,
it's not trying to hurt her. It's just trying to pick up the box. And right. it can't because its hands are puppet hands, obviously. It's not going to be able to pick up the box. But that's what it wants to do.
Wow, that's tragic.
I know. It's sad. Shit. So they have this little slap fight. She finally gets the box. And then her useless boyfriend.
So useless.
Who's coming in, I'll save you. He reaches to take the box as if he can somehow mansplain it to the demon. And she just hits him.
His hands. She just
smacks his hands.
And then she gives him a look.
Yes, you
back
fucking
the fuck
idiot.
Off, motherfucker. And meanwhile, there's this demon that stops. It's like, oh, damn. I ain't getting in between this shit. Damn. And then she closes the box.
And then she fixes, she closes the box. And there should have been some scene after that where she looks at him and he's like, she should just say, really? Really?
There would be now. In 2015, there absolutely would be that scene.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I fucking had it, dude. that was great. The uncle, that was interesting. I didn't understand how he was in the floorboards in the beginning. Part of his soul got rendered and left in the floorboards for the blood to... Something like that.
It's a little fuzzy.
But that's my problem with Clive Barker. Yeah. I think he obviously has a very specific aesthetic. It's very well said, celebrated. I get that. I don't think it translates from book to screen very well.
Demon blood magic.
S&M, demon blood magic.
Yeah. And there you go.
That's it.
I mean, that's it.
That's Clive Barker. You know what? Don't ever see any of the 8 Hellraiser movies. We've just solved it for you. But yeah, I mean, the homeless guy, he had very pretty eyes. Other than that, he was very odd.
Rob Zombie?
You keep saying
he looks like Rob Zombie.
He really didn't.
Okay,
he really
didn't.
He was a dude really
with a beard. He was a dude with... homeless looking guy with a beard.
With a beard, right. Okay, so generically you are describing Rob Zombie.
Yeah.
I will admit that. But no, I did enjoy it. I liked the creativity of it. I mean, her going to all the bars and picking up these British guys. I thought that was funny. But did we talk about any of the trivia we looked up? Because there's some funny shit.
I don't know.
So speaking of picking up the guys in bars, so do you remember the one guy she brought home who like started to get undressed?
Yeah.
So apparently that was a reshoot because that guy, the actor insisted that he needed to do the scene naked. So she like killed him. I guess it was way, I think that was the one of them, it was way bloodier and they had to tone it down.
Oh yeah, yeah. They had to reshoot it to get a non-NC-17 or X rating. Yeah.
But yeah, so that guy was just completely nude. I think the point where you saw a dong and then they were like, no. But then the funniest one to me is the guy who played Pinhead was a new actor. And he had the choice between playing one of the two moving guys and Pinhead. And he's like, you know, as a new actor, it's really important that everyone sees my face. So I think I should play the moving guy. And so he luckily thought better of it for his sake.
But this guy, he was like a childhood friend of Clive Barker.
But he apparently hadn't never really acted.
Well, okay, much. Yeah.
But so the fun...
But not to trivialize his relationship to the production.
Right. And, well, that's the kind of guy you offer the moving dude role to, right?
Yeah.
But Pinhead is like, it's a pretty big deal. And he's the face of Hellraiser.
But yes.
The funny thing is, speaking of the face of Hellraiser, at the rap party, Paul or Doug something, I think his name is Doug.
Sure.
The actor showed up to the party and no one talked to him. And he was like, apparently, so the trivia is like, so Doug Sonzo was really, you know, disappointed that no one fraternized with him at the party because he thought that he got along with all the crew and the cast. And it turned out that no one had ever seen him without his makeup on. So no one knew who he was. So he's just sitting there all like, oh, no one likes me. And meanwhile, everyone's like,
who is
that guy?
That guy
looks like Pinhead, but I don't know, when is Doug getting here? Kind of tragic.
Aww.
I like to think the second rap party went a lot better.
Yeah. But come on, he's like buddies with Clive Barker. How bad can that be?
I don't know. Clive Barker did get sued by his ex for giving him HIV.
Oh.
Oh, you not know about that either?
All right.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah,
not.
Yeah, his ex-partner before, he's been with the one now for I think 6 years, but the one before that sued him for giving him HIV. Presumably because...
He knew about it then? Or that's the...
Well, or I presume it's because he was cheating on him and got it and then gave it to him.
Oh. Wow.
I mean, that's how I... Because otherwise, why would you sue someone? Like, that's shitty. Like, you didn't know you had this disease and you gave it to me. I'm suing you. That's shitty. Versus, you cheated on me and got a disease and gave it to me. That is suable.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the reason was, but...
No.
So question, I don't know. Maybe being Clive Barker's friend could be, you know...
Yes. Depends on how close of a friend you are.
Exactly.
I do remember the other trivia bit I read about him was that they made lots of these movies.
There are 8. He's not in the last one.
He's in most of them.
He's in no more than 7.
Okay.
I was just talking to someone about this like 2 days ago.
He had, because he had gone through the whole makeup process so many times this. No, this isn't bad. Farscape. It's
okay. I was getting scared.
He got pretty good at putting stuff on or helping to put stuff on, and they actually had to give him a makeup artist credit for one of the movies because he contributed so much to putting his own makeup
that's
on.
That's hilarious. Doing your own makeup's not easy. But the Farscape reference.
Yeah, the Farscape reference.
Zahn.
Yeah, the actress who played Zahn. I forget her name.
Who was also in Mad Max. The second one. Mad Max, not Road Warrior.
Okay. Excuse me. Anyway, she was one of the original Farscape characters. She had blue body makeup.
Like grease paint.
Full body makeup. And she developed like an allergic reaction to it, right?
I think so.
You know, maybe you know more about this than I do, but she just had to quit the show, leave the show, because it was literally killing her.
I have nothing to add to that.
Yeah, no. What do you add to that?
And then they kept referencing her for like three seasons afterwards. And yeah. Like, oh, Zahn. Yeah, it's funny. Zahn was in Mad Max, and then that older crazy alien chick who was in the later seasons.
Yes, she was in the last Mad Max. That's right. Oh yeah, yeah. Granny.
Granny. Yeah, because and Erica was like, "That's Granny," I think. So, but I guess there's only so many Australian and New Zealand actors.
There you go.
And if they kill you in a Mad Max movie, I mean, they actually kill you. They were like, you know, they didn't have that good of budget, so I was like, "Well, you kind of knew what you're signing up for." That wouldn't make sense. So,
Go ahead.
I don't know. After you.
Yeah. I was going to say, speaking of dying in Australia, you may have noticed I have new slippers. I was looking for some way to segue that in, and I think I found it. I think I nailed that one.
I think I know how you are segueing that in. Okay, you know what? I'm just going to sit here quietly. I'm going to let you justify that ridiculous leap, because I know exactly what you're going to say. Yes, Mike, I noticed your Craftsman-branded slippers. I'm all ears.
Well, you're really going to make me justify a segue here?
You can't say, speaking of dying in Australia, and then talk about fucking slippers and not explain to the audience.
Well, because dying in Australia is like, you know, having a wrench thrown into your...
Plans
of life and living.
And that makes perfect sense. I don't know why.
And my slippers have wrenches on them.
They do have wrenches for tread, but that's not the segue.
No, okay. Well, anyway, I got new slippers, and I wanted to wear them because they're fucking awesome slippers.
Did you wear them here? Or did you bring them with you?
I brought them with me and put them on because I got tired of walking around with socks in your house.
I'm sorry that our cork floors are so uncomfortable to walk on in socks.
It's not just that. It's coming down to the basement. Okay, and, you know, the floor down here is a little cold. And anyway, I got new slippers is what I'm saying.
And they're awesome. You got these, your wife got.
Oh, like real slippers, I guess.
What brand were they?
Uggs.
And that's where the Australian thing actually ties
in. There. Oh, okay.
Wait, wow. Did you really not have that?
No, I didn't. I didn't have that loaded up.
Aren't Uggs Australian?
That's just a fortunate coincidence. All right.
Aren't they Australian?
Maybe.
I think they are.
I don't know.
Well,
they're made from like inside out sheep, I guess. So no, it's whatever. Wookie. What?
It's Wookiee fur. Kashyyyk, Wookiee fur, Uggs. This is well known, Mike.
Yeah, so I got these on that same shopping trip. My wife like, dying I have to go Australia. Get Uggs now mm-hmm. because it's that time of year, and all women at that time of year must go and buy Uggs.
I think Erica missed that memo.
I guess. I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with your wife.
I don't know what's wrong with
every
your
every other woman I've seen is wearing Uggs right now.
Well, my wife is impervious to Ugg mind control.
Apparently. So yeah, my wife actually tried to get me to get some Uggs.
That is a line at the Ugg
store. I did not because
is there an actual Ugg store?
There's a store in the mall that sells mostly Uggs. Fuck. And they just like they must all drive gold cars there.
Oh, let me just drive home my gold-plated rocket car.
Because we went there on like an off week night, and it was full of people buying Uggs. And these are not inexpensive slippers.
No, they're like $100, right?
At least.
For the low end.
For the low end, for the cheap Uggs.
That's the older Wookiee fur.
Right.
If you want young Wookiee fur, you're talking two or three.
And they do have some men's stuff there. I mean, not a lot. It's like a pity section for men.
Do they? Who gets... Or is it just the women's stuff rebranded?
It's like they have a men's section the way that some stores Forever have 21. A kiddie section where the kid can like sit at a little table with a shitty puzzle that's got three pieces missing and you know, try just, to have fun while mom is actually shopping. Yeah.
That's a lot like Forever 21. Like I would go in there with Simon while Erica was shopping. And so that's in the old FYE. Mm-hmm. You know how big that store is.
Yeah,
it's one of those stores that crosses one end of the mall to the other. Like you could use it as a pass-through.
You could.
So that
can you still do that?
Yep.
Do they hit? Okay.
So that is, I think you can, pretty sure.
I don't know. It's big.
It's like 95% women's clothing, and then there's this like pity section of men's clothes.
Yeah.
And I'm with Simon, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to like run around the women's section with them, so I'll look at clothes with them. And I'm like, these are fucking awful clothes. These are shit.
Was there like another guy just kind of like standing there and like
poking
at things?
There were a couple of young guys. They were probably 22, and they were like, I need to go to Forever 21. Because I'm getting a little worried. What was I going to say that was more interesting than this?
What? These are... I got these at Sears.
Well, which, they're Craftsman. I would assume, yes. Well, yeah. That is where you would get them.
And I didn't even know that there was a Craftsman brand of slipper.
They look well. There's a lot of stitching on them.
They're nice, man. I the slippers I had before these were Acorn, which... I mean, I guess they're good slippers, but, you know, they're not the manliest of slippers, though they were gray.
Mike, I'm going to stop you right there.
Uh-huh.
You can't legitimately have a conversation about slippers and slip manly in there like it's a thing that's ever going to be true. All right.
You're looking at a man wearing Craftsman slippers that have wrenches for treads. It does not get much manlier than this.
I'm sorry. I'm going to clarify one thing.
Uh-huh.
Where, take the word manly out of that sentence.
Yeah.
And replace it with desperate.
What?
Or trying too hard.
And no.
And the sentence is more true.
No.
Who puts wrenches on their slippers other than to say, men, buy the slipper, it's manly.
Honestly, I didn't even know there were wrenches on the slipper. I didn't realize it until after I bought them.
Oh,
it's
knew.
Like a bonus after the fact.
You knew.
No, I didn't. I didn't. I got home and I was pleasantly surprised when I noticed it. They just happen to be very comfortable.
I'm happy that they're
very inexpensive, certainly compared to Uggs. Good freaking God.
That's warranted. I'm not going to argue with you there.
These are like $20.
Look, you win because you spent $20 on slippers, which is about the most anyone should ever spend on slippers.
Right?
Not $300 and they look like shit. And every time I see a girl in Uggs, I just want to be like, why? Why are you wearing those and shorts? You look like a butts.
It's a thing, Mike. It's a girl thing. You wouldn't understand.
I know. And
nor
I
would
I.
Like
it. I don't have to like it either. I don't like the words on the butts, and I don't like the Uggs on the short shorts. I think it's dumb. And that's old man Mike. But they're nice slippers.
Thank you.
But I'm not going to give you manly on them.
They also come in camo.
Desperate. Trying too hard. Just put it out there.
Just put it out there. I didn't get the camo ones because I didn't need that level of
desperitude
compensation. What were you going to say before I was talking about these awesome things?
I treated myself to the Mass Effect Loot Crate Mega Box. My first foray into the loot crate world.
The loot crate
thing. The subscription, surprise subscription box thing.
Yeah.
I mean, when we got you guys the two last year for Christmas.
I know. I know what it is.
No, I'm saying they seemed fun. Like, it seemed like, oh, you don't really know what you're going to get. It's exciting. But then...
But you got it. You got it?
The Mass Effect thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I didn't want to subscribe to Loot Crate, although...
You just wanted a one-shot?
I wanted a big one-shot that was all one thing. All
right.
And I love Mass Effect, even though the ending still to this day makes me want to, like, punch a wall. Because it could have been so much better if they just acknowledged their own mythology. It seemed awesome. And they did it right. Like, they've been building a fervor for months. They were like, hey, do you like Mass Effect? Because we have this thing coming. You can't buy yet, but it's coming out in 3 months. So keep an eye out for it. And I got another email like a couple weeks ago, and it's like, hey, it's coming. It's not here yet, though. And I'm like, oh, my God. I don't need it, but I want it.
You're making salivating gestures.
I was
here.
Salivating. My beard was just dripping with excitement. And then it came, and then the day came, and I'm like, fuck, the last time they did this, it sold out in like an hour. Ah, shit. And then I bought it. And I won't get it for another month and a half.
Oh, so you won't actually. Okay.
So I'm just sitting there waiting. I know there's a hoodie. I need my N7 branded shit, man.
To go with your jacket.
That jacket's shit. It's falling apart. No, it's literally shit. It's falling apart. There's these, like, not epaulettes, but it's like a snap that makes the waist tighter.
Yeah.
And I, like, lost a lot of weight this summer, so I kind of need those now, and the snaps fell off. So when I walk, I just have these two flapping, like, waist wings.
So this is not a piece of quality merchandise that you're talking about.
No, I should have got the $600 lambskin leather coat.
Dude, what?
I regret not.
How many people ever say that?
Well, I should have probably got the $600. I think it was 500 people would have said it because it was limited to 500.
Oh, my God.
It looked badass, though. It looked rad.
But what if the quality level was
comparable? No, it was high.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was like an Italian leather coat maker made it, not shitto Chinese, here's a cash tie-in shit piece of fabric.
But you've got your fingers crossed for this new loot crate.
The only thing I know that's in it is a hoodie. That's the only thing I know for sure.
And it might be a shit hoodie.
Yeah, it looked nice.
So does your jacket. I mean, your jacket probably looked amazing when you first
I got a lot of geek jealousy out of people. But then it started to fall apart. And then I noticed that jealousy waned. Also, I stopped going in public, so. I don't know if that was related.
You need to actually encounter other people in order to generate jealousy.
Is that how that works? Yes. You can't just do it by sheer force of will?
No.
It's not like Field of Dreams, like if you wear it, they will be jealous?
No.
You sure?
No, people actually have to see you wearing it. So are you at all interested in the new Fallout game?
That's hilarious, because I was about to say something about that.
Well, I beat you to it,
so
because I read about the Pip-Boy that you can get.
Oh, we talked about it in the podcast a long time ago. And let's talk about something different. The real-life one?
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about that a long time ago.
Well, okay, but I wanted to revisit it, because it came out, and people, it's not, maybe this is a different one. Because what they have now is something you can wear on your wrist.
Okay.
But it's basically just a shell that you put a cell phone in.
Oh, no. The one that we talked about was like an Etsy thing. It was like this legit CRT monitor on your arm.
No. This is a legit device.
Huh.
Well, it's made for playing with the game, for using to play the game with.
So it's an accessory that probably doesn't actually do much, but your phone does an app while it's
out. Yes. Okay. You put an app on your phone.
That's cool.
And it actually it integrates with the game while you're playing it.
Yeah, VMUs did that in the Dreamcast, too.
Okay. It's on a cell phone, though, so it's better.
It's on your wrist. Smartphone. Yeah, you're like holding up your arm and like bloop, 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 bloop.
Yeah, so you can do that. You can go through, you can be playing the game and you can have the mini map on your phone, on your wrist, as you're running through Fallout land.
It's an immersion thing. That sounds cool. I think a HUD right on screen would probably still be better and less tiring.
I've read otherwise.
Really?
Actually, it is a little tiring and it does go through the battery kind of quickly.
Yeah, because
the best way to do it is to have your iPad or tablet set up next to your gaming rig.
Right.
Yes.
Name of my computer. Go on.
Yeah. And have the map or whatever interactive stuff going on the tablet as you're playing the game on the computer.
That makes sense.
And you can do it on a phone or a tablet or whatever, anything that the app will run on.
Okay, that makes more sense. I just, whenever I see that kind of thing, I think, yeah, that's fun, but it's not practical. Like holding up your wrist and looking at a map.
It can be cool.
But
it's immersive.
I know, but I used to really want that, and then I realized that it rarely ever actually makes sense. But doing it on a tablet makes perfect sense to me. Like, okay, there's the map. Bloop, bloop, bloop. What I was going to say was, and I shouldn't say this because our thousands of listeners are going to make this harder for me to pull off.
Uh-oh. Now,
but did you hear about Dell's Black Friday leak?
I'm sorry?
Dell, the computer company.
Dell, okay.
Is selling a $300 Xbox One with an extra controller,
okay,
the Gears of War collection, and Fallout 4 for $300, which is like $160 less than you would get anywhere else.
I guess. That's cool. So, I'm not interested because I would still not want to play that on an Xbox with an Xbox controller.
I think I might pick it up.
I would be playing Fallout on a PC with a mouse and keyboard.
It's not a PC exclusive game.
I understand that.
So for me, knowing you know me with my gaming, I feel like it's not going to be that much better in terms of graphics on a computer. And it's a really cheap way to get an Xbox One. Because the game's going to run you 60.
but I am fundamentally opposed to playing a first-person game on something that is not a keyboard and a mouse.
You do make a very good point.
To you and maybe like two other people listening.
Man, I can't argue with that point. Yeah. No, but that's, if it, you know what, that's one of those weird things that I think every non-geek should understand, because that's such a weirdly fervent disagreement in the gaming community. But so if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably a geek and you could probably just stop listening now because you know this already. But there is this very old schism between console gamers and PC gamers, right? And PC gamers are a certain breed and there's less of them, less of us. But there is something that has never been matched when it comes to playing a first-person shooter about using a mouse and keyboard versus using a console controller.
Yes.
It's never once been matched successfully to a console the way it is in a computer.
Yes. And the classic anecdote.
Ooh, it's an anecdote.
Yes. Going back to, I believe it was the first Halo game.
Yeah, okay.
You already know where I'm going with this.
I think so, yeah.
So Microsoft wanted everybody to be able to play together when they were playing Halo. Mm-hmm. It's a multiplayer game, so they want to have people playing on their Xboxes be able to play with people
on PCs.
Playing on PC.
So they had platform agnostic servers.
They did. I don't know if they still do or not.
Probably not.
But it was so imbalanced when they tested it, because the people playing on PC would just annihilate the people playing on the console with the Xbox controllers.
And Halo has arguably the best first-person shooter controller layout of any game, any first-person shooter on a console, too. Which just goes to show that
it still wasn't even close, though.
Because the gradations of a controller are nowhere near the gradations of a mouse.
Yeah.
And the combination of mouse plus keyboard, you just can't match it.
So they had to actually tweak the game, and they put in a lot of... some might call them cheats that were advantageous to the console players in order to balance it out. So it was much easier for the console players to win, to kill people, to aim and all that
and
stuff.
And that only evened the playing
automatically.
Field.
Yeah, and that, I think, yeah, that just sort of evened things out. So, yeah.
That's a good point. Man, now I'm second guessing myself.
Oh, wow.
Well, part of it is it's stupid.
Like, you could just eBay it. You could eBay the game.
Well, I'd be doing it more for the console, just to round out. I had the Xbox and I had the PS2. And then I had the Xbox 360 and I had the PS3. I had the Wii, but I'm not going to get into that. And then I have the PS4 now, which I never play. And... I just
so you
part
can
of
have
me
an Xbox
really wants to have an Xbox
that
I'm never
you can never play.
Yeah. But there are some exclusives on the Xbox that I can't get on the PS4. That's the problem. PS4 hasn't had many good exclusives.
Can you get them on the PC?
I wouldn't want to play Tomb Raider on the PC. I really liked the last Tomb Raider. That was on PS4 because it was after the exclusivity ended. But the follow up to that, the second part of the prequel is coming out only on Xbox One. And
yeah,
Halo 5.
It's a matter of time. It'll be out.
No, I know. If I wait it out, but also Halo 5, and I have played all the Halos. I genuinely love those games. So it might behoove me to do it. And then I could sell, you know what I could do is I could sell Fallout 4.
Yeah.
And then buy the PC one.
There you go. That's what I was saying. I didn't
understand. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I'll do that. I'll probably get more for it on Xbox One and pay less than, you know, for the PC.
Probably.
Because there's usually a $10 difference between the PC game and the console games. I don't know. Or maybe I won't do it. But yeah, I am due to get another PC game.
Oh my god. That is all salt at the bottom.
You put a lot of salt in your drink, dude.
I didn't think you put that much in there.
It's kosher salt, though.
Those
are massive grains.
Wow.
Yeah, they don't break down. They just...
Oh.
You need water?
No, I think I'm done. That was a tasty drink, but I'm done now.
Good. You look done.
I'm drinking saline.
You look like a man in desperately manly sandals who is very salinated. You're like JD salinated. That was not as good as I thought it was going to be.
I'm a salty dog.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good one. So, yeah, so Dell has this deal November 26th. Starts Black Friday. That's apparently, like, no one's matching it, so we'll see.
Anyway, Sears has a deal. I think they might still be on sale. They have awesome slippers for men.
By Craftsman.
By Craftsman.
With camouflage.
Yeah, in gray or camo, or I think beige.
You know, I've seen a number of camo
manly colors.
So I'm sure the camo slippers sell well.
Fucking A.
I mean, if you think about it, if you're hunting and you're in your tree stand.
Yeah, you want to keep your feet warm.
Yeah, and you want to do it. And you want to blend in, right?
Yeah, you don't want to.
Boots are going to be a liability.
Well, yeah, if you got your boots up in your tree stand, you'd be getting tracking mud all up there. You don't want to do that.
No, and your feet aren't going to be, like, comfortable. They might be warm, but not going to be comfortable.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you need to sit there for hours on end with your night vision and your deer scenting and your camo tarp and your ridiculous, you know, World War III era gun. There is no fucking hope for the deer. Why is it hunting at this point?
Camo slippers are what you need to keep your feet happy while you are waiting to kill wild animals.
Kill the fuck out of wild animals that are so not. It is like putting God mode into a game and then just shooting noobs. While spawn camping. That's how shitty hunting is. My grandfather. My father-in-law is probably going to take my son hunting at some point. That's going to be interesting. Buddies in Space is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. Visit StolenDress.com to check out other Stolen Dress podcasts, blogs, tweets, videos, and books.
We're Buddies in Space!
You are S. Michael Smith.
You are M. Michael Carassi.
And we are out.
Salty.
Salty.
It's a salty dog now. I think I got all the alcohol, though.
Yeah, there's nothing left here. But seriously, man, hunting, like, you can get Predator-style mirror tarps. Have you seen that?
Mirror tarps?
I don't know how to explain it. Maybe I'll do a picture of it. It's like a dude, like, hunting. He's all decked out in crazy military gear. And it's like this tarp that, like, bends the light so you blend into this shit around you. It's the most,
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I want to wear that at work.
That's fine. No one will notice you when you're listening to your weird sounding wind turbines, but
I want slippers made out of that.
How is he walking? He has no feet.